Good morning. It is often that, and not so often really, that we have a guest speaker with us who represents an area of the world that is very little known to us. Certainly has been little known to me. When I first heard about the possibility that Pastor Nahum Coulibaly might be available to come and speak to us, somehow God spoke to me right at that moment and said, yes, absolutely. I don't know why, because I usually am somewhat careful with a selection, background, etc. We as Westerners often think and say, as we think of places distant, far away, unknown to us, we say it must be in Timbuktu. Well, there is a place called Timbuktu. The place is a real city, an ancient city, a city of commerce, a city with significant importance even today. It is a center of the country, not center, but one of the commercial centers of the country of Mali. Western African country, not blessed with a lot of vegetation, probably blessed with a lot of sand. But Mali is the place and homeland of our guest speaker, Pastor Nahum Coulibaly. We're so happy to have his entire family with us this morning. Dr. Karen Coulibaly is here with her entire family. They're downstairs with the children. Dr. Karen is a physician attached to the Missionary Health Institute that most of you are familiar with. We're so delighted to have Dr. Karen with us this morning. Nahum Coulibaly is a man that has dedicated himself to the Lord's work. I regard him as an ambassador of God, ambassador of Christ, from what I've read, what I've got to know about him. He has dedicated himself to education. He's educated himself in the sheer willingness to learn about God and what God is doing. Pastor Nahum will be speaking to us about that. He has 2 degrees from Tyndale Seminary, one in divinity and one in theology, which suggests to us that he is well-versed in the Word. And it's the Word is what we need to hear about. Pastor Coulibaly is an ambassador, as I said, ambassador to the Lord. We're truly happy and privileged this morning to have him here with us. I did not mention the fact that Pastor Coulibaly is a member of the Rexdale Alliance Church. He's a member of the Board of Elders there. And so he immerses himself in the work of God. Pastor Coulibaly comes here this morning to open the Word to us, to open our minds and our eyes to the needs of the world, but particularly to the peoples of Mali. So let us be in prayer and have open hearts to hear what Pastor Coulibaly says. We are very privileged, Pastor, to have you come to the pulpit of Forward Baptist Church this morning to open the Word to us and to bless us. Please welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning. How are you doing? It's such a privilege and joy for my wife Karen, our five children, and for myself to be welcome at home here in your beautiful, beautiful church building and in your beautiful home church. Thank you so much for the great privilege and honor to be invited to come and to fellowship with you and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Today is about mission. We will ever be thankful. I'm talking about Mali. Those in Mali who have accepted the Lord, we will ever be thankful to God for you, Canadian missionaries, including all denominations, the Baptist, Alliance, whatever mission that are represented here in this country. Because of your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, we call you. People like myself are here. And from the bottom of our heart, thank you so much. And it's in that context that the Lord has put a song on my heart from one of the hymn books that we use in Mali. Without the work of the missionaries, we wouldn't have hymn book like this in the language called Bamara. Bamara is the trade national language in Mali. As your guest speaker today, I speak four languages. So please forgive me my broken English, my broken accent. I'm still working on your English language. English is the fourth language. But because of your son and your daughters that you sent to us, even talking to your pastor, Don, doing translation in Mali, in places like Ivory Coast, without their work, our languages wouldn't be preserved because they wouldn't have a written form. Because of your work and your financial support and your prayer, I'm here to sing you and to God one song from the hymn book that you have given us. It's in Bamara. My tribal language is Mienka, tiny tribe in Mali. And every tribe will try to speak Bamara because it's a trade language. And when you're blessed to go to school like myself, to have formal education, you'll be educated in French because we're colonized by the French people. And then when you're more blessed in a certain way, you will learn to speak English to be in a minority. And I learned English in Mali. And therefore, brother and sister, today, I know when I came here, Ray took me to the building and showed me one first thing. He showed me the clock. The clock is here. But Ray just told you that I'm from Africa. I'm telling Ray, in Africa, where I grew up in the small churches, we didn't have a clock, but we did have a calendar. It was a calendar was put in the back there. So you are dealing with a speaker who have been used to a calendar. Now we're going to go from calendar to a clock. It's going to be stretchy, but we will make it happen by God's grace. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the meaning of this song is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to go. Why? Because there are many people who are lost in their sin. Let's go to announce the good news everywhere to the nations. Tell them about the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And you cannot do this in your own strength. You have to do it in prayer. Prayer to God. Because God is almighty. He is powerful enough to take our prayer and touch the lives of the lost. Ankata, Ankata is the meaning of this song. So, and then I'm going to play with my djembe. With your permission, I'll come closer to you. I'm not changing the protocol here, but I would like to be closer. And then after that, we will use the clock. Thank you. Amatege yeso be awele be angata 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 imadongo moko chamatuno na angata 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 kibaro duma fo angata. Heavenly Father, speak to your people. Lord, touch our lives for your glory. And Lord, we pray that you will save a nation as a result of our faithfulness to your salvation work. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you again for giving me the privilege to come and serve. The few minutes we'll spend together today, I believe, will be time well used in the coming days, weeks, and months. Brother, mission is about the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. Now, that means taking Jesus Christ to the whole world. Taking Jesus Christ to the nations. I was born in Mali, but at a certain time in my life, the Lord sent me to Senegal. I was there for 6 years as a missionary. In the heat of the mission work, there are many times I start to wonder, why didn't God send angels to do this? It would have been easy for angel to do this directly. Brothers and sisters, in scripture I learned, no, angel won't do it. In spite of all our weaknesses, in spite of all the difficulties of a mission work, one thing that you and I need to take from this text of chapter 8, 26 to 40, one major thing that you and me need to take from this chapter is this: mission is a privilege and a trust God has given to the church. Church, thank you God for this beautiful building we have received. But the church is you and me, men and women, the assembly of men and women that God has saved through his son Jesus Christ. This is the church. And that church is not perfect. Sometimes people run away from church because what? They are a bunch of hypocrites. There are bad people there. They hurt me. Here we go again with our Jesus. I have nothing to do with church. In spite of all that bunch of hypocrites, brother and sister, yes, that I'm the first one, hypocrite. In spite of all that, you got it now. God has given to you and me the imperfect church, the privilege of mission. How do we learn that? We learn this in Acts chapter 8, 26 to 31. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopian. Now, in this passage, notice one thing. The angel could have gone directly to the Ethiopian, but he didn't. The angel didn't. The angel went to Philip in perfect church. You and I are the Philip today. The angel will not go to the lost directly. Jot that down. The angel will go to you and me, Philip, today, the church. And in that message from the angel to Philip, the angel gave him general direction, not specific. He said, go south to the road. And the important thing is Philip went. And what did he get? Now this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And notice now the Spirit told Philip. Now it changed from the angel to the Spirit. It was the angel who gave instruction to Philip. Now in this passage, what do you see? It went from the angel to the Spirit. And what did the Spirit say? Go to that chariot, brothers and sisters, until you and I are ready to obey one day at a time. We will never see the chariot that God wants us to go when we go south. You see, from general instruction to the specific, that chariot, not that one, but that chariot. Philip would have not seen that chariot if he didn't obey the first instruction from the angels. Are you among those people who just want to get the whole thing in your eyes first before you go? If the answer is yes, you will miss the chariot that God wants you to go and minister to. Let you and I learn to obey one day at a time. As we obey one day at a time, the Lord will unfold in due time what he wants us to do. Brother and sister, Philip obeyed, and then he saw the chariot. Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. It was not A, but it was specific to the chariot, and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. And here we answer, how can I? He said, unless someone explain it to me. He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Brothers and sisters, when you and I obey to the angel under God's instruction, when you and I obey to the Spirit of God in our mission, whether here or in Timbuktu, we will see our chariot. And then our role will be to sit up with people, to go alongside them, to accompany them in their need. This is what mission is about. To go to that chariot, to be sitting with them, to identify yourself to their need, to identify yourself to their feeling, and brothers and sisters, and to be God's answer to their question. How can I, unless someone come and sit and explain to me? Yes, that's why, brothers and sisters, this missionary from India says this. It is a great privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That privilege is not for self-promotion, self-advancement, material benefit, or prosperity, but for service that brings glory to God and fulfills His purposes. Christian privilege and blessing are always for the service of God and His kingdom. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege for you and me to be sent to do mission work, and that privilege was not given even to the angels. That sometimes we think they are far better than we are. If you're not excited about this privilege, I don't know what else will excite you. Me, a broken man, have been given a trust and a privilege that God didn't give to the angels. Why are we going to play around with that trust from God? This is the question that you and I need to answer in our life. Brothers and sisters, look at it as a privilege. Yes, it's tough. No doubt about it. We talk about the toughness of mission. But above all, this is a privilege and a joy given to you individually as a church and collectively as a church. And look at it as a privilege. That could have been given to the angel, but this text tells us God did not. Yes, angel will not evangelize the world. Why? Biblically, we have the answer. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 17. Since the children have flesh and blood, he talking about Jesus Christ, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who hold the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their life were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels that he helped, but Abraham's descendant. Do you know why God didn't send the angel to do mission? The answer in this text, Hebrew, Jesus did not incarnate himself into an angel. Jesus incarnated himself into a human being, a Philip, like you and me. Jesus did not become an angel. He did not die for angels. He died for you and me, human beings, so that we, having experimented God's goodness and forgiveness and mercy in our life, as human beings, not as angels, we are well suited to go to other human beings and tell them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. If Jesus had died for angels, no doubt about it, I can assure this. If Jesus had died for angel would have joined us to go to sit down with his chariot. Do you know what you're reading about? But the fact is, Jesus did not incarnate himself to an angel. Jesus did not die for angel. He did not help the angel. You know this, that angel, Satan was an angel. He sinned and became Satan. Well, Jesus did not die for him, but he died for you and for me, by becoming one of us when he took flesh. And that's why we, Philip, the human being, had to go and sit that chariot. And number two reason why angel won't do this work. You know what? It's not this is not something I find in the Bible, but I can give you this from my own experience. If an angel appears here physically, fewer are among us who can handle it. If a physical angel appears here, few people can stand it. It will be too much for us. We cannot. But if a human being like me, you never saw me, most of you here, but you never run away when I appear. But I can guarantee you, if an angel had appeared, you see, you have a guest speaker coming, and an angel come, whoa, 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 whoa. People will be running away. There won't be mercy here. Therefore, understand, I know, in many ways, we all are trying to make ourselves an angel. Quiet down. Make yourself simple, human being. There's benefit to it. Other human beings will be able to relate themselves to you. But if you appear in their eye, making yourself an angel, you're killing the message. You're not an angel. You will never become an angel, even in heaven. And brothers and sisters, the clock is going. For this reason, he had to be made like his brother in every way, Jesus Christ, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered, when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And yes, David Livingstone says this: God has only one son, and he made that son a missionary. Every missionary follows in the step of the Son of God, who visits this planet 2,000 years ago on a mission of redemption. He came to seek and to save and to give his life as a ransom for many. I like this. David Livingstone was one of the European missionaries in Africa in the 19th century. He was not an angel perfect. He has a lot of controversy in Africa. Yet, we Africa, when David Livingstone was living there, we could see God's mercy and compassion in this man's heart. Did you know the day David Livingstone died in Africa, we African, we asked that his heart be buried in our continent and the rest of his body be sent back home. To this day, David Livingstone's heart is still buried in Africa and the rest of his body is sent. Because we saw in him a Philip who came to our chariot, who sat down with us, who ate with us, suffered with us. And only Christ in the Philip's heart can do that. Where will be your heart buried? Maybe not physically, but spiritually, where is your heart? Is it in China? Is it in Saudi Arabia? Is it in Mali? Your heart has to be somewhere. It might not be buried physically there like David Livingstone, but if you are to be true to God's gospel, your heart had to be somewhere like the Ethiopian, like Philip's heart was with the Ethiopian. Like David Livingstone's heart is in Africa. Brothers and sisters, yes, let's learn that our mission is to preach and teach Christ. Acts chapter 8, 32 to 35 says this: the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearer is silent. And he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendant? For his life was taken from this earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began with that passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. I like this. The church, you're not going there to preach about yourself. I like denomination, Baptist, Christian Mission Alliance, my own background. But you know what? Our role is not going there to preach about Baptist. Our role is not going there to preach about the Christian Mission Alliance Church. Our role is to go and preach about Jesus Christ, the whole Jesus Christ. Behold Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The Baptist denomination is not the Savior. The Christian Mission Alliance is not the Savior. No matter how we're trying to do it, the only Savior is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, 12, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we might be saved. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And yes, that gospel, Jesus Christ, must be preached and taught everywhere in the whole world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this: But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Yes, and Matthew 24, 14 tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Nations here, biblically, is not just a Canadian nation. It's not just a Malian nation. In fact, when you go to the roots of the world nation, the Bible speaks talking about ethnic group. That make it more complicated. It's not just Canadian. How many ethnic groups do we have in Canada? Many. And what the Bible is telling us, this message had to be preached to the Dutch Canadian, to the German Canadian, to every nation. You go to Mali, we have minimum 37 nations ethnic group. 37 in the tiny country of Mali. The Bible is telling us why to go to the nation. All nations have to hear the gospel. Why? Because God created them all in the first place. And His mercy had to be shown to all of them. And that's why, brothers and sisters, mission today requires every disciple. It requires your help. It requires my help. Why? Because the scope of the work is so deep and vast. We cannot sit on the sideline. The problem is for many of us, we're sitting on the sideline and thinking the pastor alone can do it. The elder can do it alone. No, all of us have to be part of this. Why? Here are some statistics for you. Because of the clock, guess what? Give you the general tendency here. We have about 7 billion people on earth living today. Out of those 7 billion people, brothers and sisters, only about 2 billion of us are claiming that Christ is our Savior and Lord. The 5 billion are still lost. And that's where you and I need to fulfill our role of Philip as the angel and the Spirit lead us. And out of those 2 billion people who are claiming to be son and daughter of Jesus Christ, there's a group that we call nominal Christian. They might be called Daniel, but they behave like someone, Brian, who have never been to church. They're nominal, they might be called Esther, but guess what? Their behavior is never someone like Esther. They're nominal, therefore they also need mission. Brothers and sisters, yet in this need of all our need to be involved, few are involved. Why? Because there are so many roadblocks to Christian mission. And I'm going to go through a few roadblocks. Why is it a lot of us are sitting on the sideline and not getting involved? Number one roadblock, whether it's this generation, in any generation, is this: the denial of Christ's uniqueness. This is very serious. Whether it's in this generation, or the past generation, or the generation to come, every Christian generation has to pay attention to this roadblock. As soon as you and I deny the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, our mission is dead. Mission is possible. Why? When we believe that Jesus Christ is unique, He is the only Savior. If you think, oh, there are other Saviors there, don't impose your Christian view on them, guess what? You don't need to give money to a missionary because, well, they can be saved by other means. And unfortunately, in the West churches today, thank you, the Canadian, American, Western European, like David Livingstone, you brought the gospel to us because you believe in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that we are losing this belief that Christ is unique. The political correctness is bringing us, oh, no, if I said I will offend this person there. Brothers and sisters, are you among the political correct? So correct that you are denying the essence of what Christianity is all about. Brothers and sisters, yes, that's why one of the missionaries says this. In a pluralistic world, it is becoming increasingly difficult for the Christian missionary to insist on the uniqueness of the Christian faith and the finality of Jesus Christ. This is occasioned by two factors: the increasing popularity of relativism in the West and the resurgence of a non-Christian religion of the East. In view of these two developments, the missionary is going to look more and more like a relic of bygone days. If there are no absolutes in the moral realm, it is foolish to insist that one religion is true and all the other religions are in varying degrees false. Such a notion is equally repugnant in East and West. We always thought of a 19th century missionary as being a person of great courage. The missionary of the future will need even more courage, but it will be a moral rather than physical courage. It is embarrassing to live in a global village and insist that the neighbor's gods are false, especially when the neighbors are such fine folks. This is what is happening today in the West. And brothers and sisters, we're not saying that we have to look down on other religions, but we better keep up the truth of the gospel. Jesus is unique because He's the only one who died on the cross. Jesus is unique because He's the only one who can sanctify, who can set us free from death. eternal death. Jesus is unique because he is the only one who slaughtered himself for others, and nobody slaughtered himself for him. He is the only one who have done that. You give me someone else in this world have done that, and then I will say, well, then he's not unique. But he is still unique and will ever be unique because his love is unique. And that uniqueness has to be preached because the world needs it. The world needs you and I imitating Jesus, slaughtering ourselves for others, not the other way around. And that's why that is unique to be taught. And brothers and sisters, another factor for us to be blocking our mission work is fear of suffering and risk and danger and martyrdom. When you talk about mission today, the world is such in a mess that it's hard for people to say, well, I'm going to Timbuktu. Oh, are you sure you won't be kidnapped there? It's true. Kidnapping is real. But don't forget, fear didn't prevent Jesus Christ to come and die for you and for me. Jesus knew that death was real for him. But because of your love and my love, he faced death. Why? Because he knew there's something beautiful coming after death. And again, that's why our gospel is unique in Jesus Christ. If mission had to stop because of fear of risk, guess what? Mission won't happen. And that's why, brother and sister, Matthew 28:16-20, Jesus himself gave us the assurance in this way, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As St. Taylor writes, without an element of risk in your exploit for God, there's no need for faith. And then another roadblock to mission is this, fear of financial insecurity. Yes, you know, for mom and dad here, you have worked hard to save for the education of your son and daughter to go to University of Toronto. While you were expecting him to become an engineer, when you were expecting him to become a family doctor, and here he is, she is, mom and dad, I want to become a missionary to Mali. You just wasted all the money I just spent on you. How are you going to survive in Mali? Now you're going to run from door to door. I'm going to Mali and your picture is on every fridge in every house. Fear of insecurity financially. Brothers and sisters, let you and I understand that in Christ, in the gospel, there's always provision in the gospel. God will always provide. Why? Again, he's unique. He has it all. And that's why Haggai chapter 2 verse 8 says this, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declare the Lord Almighty. Therefore, mom and dad, when your children come to you, trust your Lord Jesus Christ with your life, the life of your children. Don't worry, the Lord will provide for them. Son and daughters, don't worry that when you give up your medical work, that you will be in financial insecurity when you come back to Canada. The Lord will provide for you. It's not about the gospel of prosperity, but because he's unique, he will provide for you. And yes, we all have our personal misconception about mission trip. Mission. My misconception about mission was, if you want to be a missionary, you have to be a white person. A black person cannot be a missionary. That was my personal misconception. Now what is yours? And that's why I have blanked there for all of us. Whatever has prevented you to get involved in this mission, think about it and fill in the blank yourself and go and check it with the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, thank you so much for this opportunity you have given me to come and share with you. Now I just want to take 5 more minutes from your time and 10 will stop, 50 will stop there. Just a short personal story of how mission has impacted myself. You see, it's because of a trust in Jesus Christ that men and women have left Mali, Canada, and the U.S. to go to my country of Mali. You see on the picture here. And then when here the men and women in the early 30s, where my finger is pointing, this was an American missionary who was settled in my father's village. My great-grandfather was a king. When my great-grandfather heard that some missionaries were trying to settle their mission station in his kingdom, he asked them to set the mission station in our village. And that's how this gentleman settled his mission station in my great-grandfather's village. But my great-grandparents, because they were concerned about protecting their own kingdom, they never became Christian. Because they were fearful that when they become Christian, they will lose the 20 wives that my great-grandfather used to have. They will lose all the luxury that they have. But brothers and sisters, God has another way. Among those missionaries who suffered there and never saw much fruit, including my great-grandfather, they didn't want to become Christian. So one of those missionaries died in Mali. Great sacrifices. But you know what? Their sacrifices was not in vain. Why? A few many years later, one of my grand-uncle became a Christian. And through my grand-uncle, my father became a Christian. And through my father's preaching, at the age of 7, I became a Christian myself. And little did my great-grandparents could imagine that their grandson and great-grandson will be a preacher of the word in Mali and in Canada. And I'm telling you this to let you know again about the uniqueness of the gospel. You might be laboring in whatever way you have been sending money, you have been preaching, you don't see you don't see results. Don't be discouraged. Why? God is eternal. He's more than this clock. God is eternal. In his eternity, 40 years later, you will be surprised what God will do. The most important thing is, whether you go on a long or a short-term mission, be faithful in planting and preaching the word of God. Because at the end of the day, your secret is nothing else but the word of God that will never fail. It may take 20 or 30 years in my personal case, but you can guarantee on it, one day the Lord will bring fruit to himself, and that's my story. And brothers and sisters, you know, many years later, while I was doing mission work in Senegal, while I was in Senegal, I prayed that I would like to go to study theology in Tyndale. But I applied to Tyndale. I said, I want to come to study. Tyndale said, you need to give proof of $36,000. I didn't have it. And one day I ran into one of the American short-term missionaries in my church. Long story short, when I told him I'm praying to go to study in Tyndale, but I didn't have the money, he said, I'll pay for you. I said, sir, you don't even ask how much it will cost. I went to him, it will cost you $36,000. He smiled and said, I'll pay for you. Long story short, instead of $36,000 for 3 years, I finally spent 7 years at Tyndale. He paid more than $100,000 for free. Free for me, but not free for him. Why? He said that the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed him. And in that blessing, Nuhum, I'm paying for your education at Tyndale. When you finish your education, wherever the Lord wants you to be used, today here at Fourth Baptist Church, you go there. Brothers and sisters, after my graduation of third grade between nations, and through that, in my preaching, I met a couple in Edmonton. They gave me soccer ball. We went back to Mali, Karen and I. We started soccer ministry to do evangelism through soccer ministry in local churches, more in villages. We started there. And then I met another dentist in Edmonton, Christian dentist. He sent his dental equipment. 2 times we have been to Mali in villages in town, shall we do dental work. And then one, this lady walking, all covered up a veil, and then yet she wants dental work. I said, this isn't going to be interesting. How can we going to do dental work with face completely covered? When we call her name, she came up, the veil came off. Brothers and sisters, sometimes preaching won't cut it. It will be good to just apply your preaching. It's all part of the preaching. And applying preaching will take off the veil like that in a Muslim country like mine. And again, and understand, God is more than the clock. He still has eternity to work in this lady's life. She didn't become a Christian there, but everybody knew by our behavior what we said, knew him as a pastor. No one wanted to impose Christ on her, but we give Christ mercy to her. It took down the veil. Brother and sister, in another church I was speaking, I met a businessman. He sent money, bought wheelchairs, and sent me to distribute wheelchairs to disabled people in Mali. All through the gospel. And then we do preaching and teaching of gospel through music in Mali. And that you see with local churches. And then lastly, school, that we're starting to preach through school in Malawi. We started kindergarten, and then eventually in the coming years, we will build a Christian school in Mali. Mali is 90% Muslim. But we believe through education in one of the poorest countries in the world, Christian education will make a difference again in the 50 years to come. Brothers and sisters, I have a lot to share with you. But for the sake of our time, I'll just stop here. Again, it's not about the 1 hour or 3 hours. It's all about what the Lord wants you to take today from what has been shared. Thank you so much for your willingness to come and listen. But it had to go beyond the listening. God has blessed each one of you with who you are and what you have. You know what? Don't kill yourself. Just honestly speaking, look at yourself. God, what have you made me to be and what have you given me? That's enough. And then take that and say, God, in that flexibility, what do you want me to do for you? Be flexible in His hand. Trust His word. Be men and women of prayer. Be behind a missionary if you're not going yourself. And you know what? Give financially if the Lord has blessed you. Believe it or not, this American who has spent $100,000 in my life, he doesn't preach, he doesn't teach. But I can guarantee you, without his financial investment, you wouldn't have a guest speaker here today from Mali. In the end, I cannot boast of anything. In the end, he cannot boast of anything because he recognized that he's a millionaire in the U.S. It was the Lord who gave those millions to him. In the end, if my guest, my gift of preaching and teaching, I cannot boast about it. Why? Because without his money to send me to get good professor attended to teach me, in the end, mission is a teamwork. And all the glory goes to the one who have given it all. Would you be faithful in your lifetime? If you say yes, the Lord will bring joy to many people around the world. Philip brought joy to the eunuch. The eunuch was a wealthy man already, but you notice in the Bible that those millions didn't make him joyful. But what joy he has when he got baptized and met Christ, the Bible says, when the angel took away Philip, the eunuch was going back home rejoicing. That's it. Where money didn't give joy, Christ brought that joy. The joy of salvation, of sanctification, and then one day the joy of glorification. God bless you as you become the instrument of Jesus Christ's joy in the life of your Ethiopian, whatever that Ethiopian may be. In Jesus' name, until we meet in heaven. Amen.